This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I offer an update to the case of Taylor Denise Shawbusiness? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Taylor Denise Shawbusiness was born on November 23, 1997. Her name was originally Coronado. She changed it to Shawbusiness in 2018. Taylor lived in Illinois until 2007, when her family moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Taylor's mother died in 2009, and over 10 years later, her brother died in a motorcycle collision. Between the ages of 7 and 14, Taylor received mental health counseling for ADHD and depression. She spent 3 days in a mental health facility in 2012. Clinicians said that she suffered from a thought disturbance and hallucinations. She was diagnosed with bipolar 1 disorder with psychosis. Later, she was diagnosed with mood disorder without psychosis. In 2014, Taylor found herself once again in a mental health facility. She was diagnosed with mood disorder with psychosis and given antipsychotic medication. In 2017, Taylor was sent to live with her grandparents in Texas and stayed there for about a year. In 2020, Taylor exhibited bizarre behaviors and had hallucinations. At this time, she was using methamphetamine and heroin. Allegedly, Taylor's husband had been a methamphetamine dealer and introduced her to the drug. In 2021, Taylor was civilly committed for 6 months and ordered by the court to take psychotropic medication. Taylor had delusions, hallucinations, paranoia, and was using methamphetamine and marijuana. She was given injections of antipsychotic medication to ensure her compliance. As Taylor was struggling with various mental health symptoms, she also had numerous negative interactions with law enforcement. Crime was her game, and Shawbusiness was booming. In 2019, Taylor was pulled over for driving on a suspended license. In June of 2020, she was arrested for battery and resisting or obstructing an officer. In August of 2020, she was arrested for bail jumping and resisting or obstructing an officer. Just 21 days later, she was arrested for several charges, including fleeing or eluding an officer. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On February 21, 2022, at about 9:30 p.m., Taylor picked up her lover, named Shad Therian, from his mother's residence. Taylor and Shad went to an apartment on Eastman Avenue and used methamphetamine, marijuana, and trazodone. Getting drugs appeared to be the first order of Shawbusiness. Later that night, or early on February 22, Taylor and Shad returned to the residence of Shad's mother. Evidently, Taylor and Shad would routinely engage in sex that involved choking. They went to the basement and used metal chains to continue this endeavor. Taylor used a chain to strangle Shad before playing with his dead body for 2 or 3 hours. After this, Taylor dismembered his body using various kitchen knives, placed his head and member in a bucket, and placed other body parts in various containers like a box for a crock pot. During the early morning hours of February 23, Taylor left the residence. Shad's mother found the bucket containing her son's head and contacted the police. The police arrested Taylor and found the other body parts in a minivan that she had been driving. She admitted that she had been at the residence of Shad's mother. Taylor said that she blacked out while in the basement. Despite this alleged blackout, she gave the police plenty of details about how she carried out the homicide. Taylor indicated that she just went crazy and strangled Shad. He tried to fight back, but she managed to kill him anyway. This was an experience that Taylor enjoyed. Her plan was to remove all of Shad's body parts from the residence, but she became lazy and only took his leg and foot into the minivan with her. Taylor was mad at herself for leaving Shad's head in the bucket. She told the police, quote, "I can't believe I left the head, though," unquote. It was like she had unfinished shop business. Taylor was charged with 3 offenses, including first-degree intentional homicide. She pleaded not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. On February 14, 2023, when Taylor was in a courtroom, she physically attacked her attorney. Her lawyer withdrew from the case, probably because he was unable to attend to the shop business at hand. Taylor received another lawyer. Taylor's trial started on July 24, 2023. Several law enforcement officers testified, and video-recorded police interviews were played for the jury. Taylor often had a smirk on her face during the court proceedings. The closing arguments were pretty straightforward. The state argued that Taylor admitted to killing Shad, and the physical evidence supported her confession. She described the murder in a high level of detail, and this matched what investigators were able to discover. The defense argued that the facts of this case were bizarre, confusing, puzzling, and unclear. Nobody really knew what happened. There were no eyewitnesses to the homicide. No one saw Taylor driving the minivan, which contained the body parts. During her interview with the police, Taylor made it clear that she was having trouble thinking, and much of her narrative did not make sense. She was inappropriately smiling and laughing, and appeared to be paranoid. At one point, she said that she did not like open spaces. Taylor described sexual behavior, which would not have been possible considering the location of various body parts. Like the sex would have been geographically challenging, which is an argument that doesn't appear frequently in court cases. Her defense attorney argued that Taylor had a low level of credibility and that perhaps the killing was accidental. On June 26, 2023, day 3 of Taylor's trial, the jury deliberated for 50 minutes before convicting Taylor of 3 charges, including first-degree intentional homicide. It's not clear what they did for the other 49 minutes. The next phase of the trial was for the jury to determine if Taylor was not responsible by reason of mental disease or defect. Witnesses for this phase included Taylor's father and 3 mental health professionals, 1 hired by the defense and 2 who were court-appointed. The state didn't hire any mental health clinicians. Not surprisingly, the mental health professionals disagreed about whether Taylor was responsible for the murder or not. The mental health clinician for the defense testified that Taylor probably had bipolar 1 disorder with psychotic features and was not responsible for the homicide. The court-appointed mental health clinicians were not convinced that Taylor committed the homicide because of bipolar disorder. They thought that she was responsible for the crime. Just as was the case with the guilt phase of the trial, the jury didn't need much time to make a decision. They rejected Taylor's insanity defense. Taylor Shaw Business is facing a maximum penalty of life in prison. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number 1. There isn't really any question that Taylor is the person who killed Shad. Even if one were to disregard her confession, the state still had a pretty good case against her. With the confession, all doubt was removed. She did not have a clear motive for the killing, but for whatever reason, she carried it out. Taylor committed one of the most inexplicable, gruesome, and gory homicides in recent times. She expended a tremendous amount of energy, not only to commit the homicide, but to cut apart the victim's body. There's a sense that everyone will remember Taylor's effort to dismember. Item number 2, let's take a look at the definition in Wisconsin for mental responsibility of a defendant. Again, Taylor was arguing that she was not responsible based on her mental health. In order for a defendant to be found not responsible due to a mental disorder, the defendant must satisfy the jury to a reasonable certainty by the greater weight of the credible evidence that at the time the crime was committed, the defendant had a mental disease or defect, and as a result, lacked substantial capacity either to appreciate the wrongfulness of the conduct or to conform that conduct to the requirements of the law. The burden of proof in this phase of the trial is on the defendant. An abnormality manifested only by antisocial conduct does not count toward this defense. The temporary effects of substances do not count, and voluntary drug use does not count. However, a permanent condition caused by drugs over time may count. This brings me to item number 3. Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that Taylor was not responsible by reason of mental disease or defect, starting with the factors that support this theory. Taylor's mother died when Taylor was young. This type of trauma can contribute to the development of mental illness. Taylor had an extensive mental health history, which started no later than the age of 7. She received many different diagnoses throughout the years, including bipolar 1 disorder with psychosis. Once somebody has this diagnosis, there is no reason to believe that it will disappear. Taylor suffered from many different symptoms at various times, including auditory hallucinations, visual hallucinations, delusions, paranoia, and thought disturbance. She was prescribed antipsychotic medication. At one point, Taylor was civilly committed, so a court declared that she was mentally ill. Her strange behavior continued even after she was in jail and no longer had access to illegal drugs. So drug use can't explain all of her symptoms. Here are a few other examples of Taylor's behavior that support the idea that she was mentally ill. She attacked her attorney in court. In jail, she threw a chair at a mental health professional. Taylor smeared feces on the walls of her jail cell. She appeared to respond to internal stimuli. She was distracted and went off on tangents when speaking. She appeared to have disorganized thinking. She demonstrated hypersexual behavior. Taylor said that she heard a train whistle and screaming while she was in jail. When asked to rate her mood on a scale of 1 to 10, she said 007, like James Bond. Again, this points to disorganized thinking. She had command hallucinations related to self-harm, and Taylor appeared to have obsessive-compulsive symptoms. Moving to the factors that contradict the theory that Taylor was not responsible, Taylor had a history of using methamphetamine, heroin, and marijuana. She was using methamphetamine and other drugs at the time when she killed Shad. Her drug use could explain why she committed the murder. Another mental disorder like bipolar disorder would not be necessary. Taylor's defense is that she was having a manic episode when she killed Shad. It's not clear from the evidence that this is true, and even if it was, there is no way to tell what contribution the methamphetamine had to Taylor's behavior. So was it the methamphetamine that caused her to kill, or was it the bipolar 1 disorder symptoms? The risk of violence with bipolar disorder increases dramatically when illegal substances are used. Not all of the mental health clinicians who interacted with Taylor believed that she had bipolar disorder. She had other disorders in her history, like mood disorder. Perhaps the diagnosis of bipolar disorder was incorrect. Typically, when someone is psychotic and commits a homicide, they weave delusions into their explanation of the crime. That really didn't happen in this case. Taylor didn't say anything about evil spirits, the government spying on her, alien spacecraft, or ghosts telling her what to do. She didn't think her victim was a werewolf or an imposter. There was nothing like that. Taylor concealed her crime, which appears to indicate that she was aware of the wrongfulness of her behavior. She was trying to escape responsibility, which means she understood what it meant to be responsible. Taylor demonstrated a purpose in her behavior and appeared to be acting on her own volition. One could say that she was all shab business. When considering all the evidence, do I think that Taylor was not responsible due to mental illness? No, I think that Taylor was responsible for the murder. Her drug use appears to have been a major factor, and this is something that she chose to do. She was not permitted to use her illegal drug use as a defense. Methamphetamine has an association with violence and can produce symptoms like aggression, irritability, paranoia, hypersomnia, psychosis, depression, and anxiety. Many of these symptoms align with bipolar disorder. So again, the methamphetamine use could fully explain Taylor's symptoms. Methamphetamine has a notorious reputation for turning benign situations into dangerous encounters. It makes people extremely unpredictable. Now moving to my final thoughts. Taylor shab business may have been suffering from psychosis when she committed murder. She may have had bipolar 1 disorder. But the problem is that she contributed to her own dangerous state of mind. She put her lover in danger by choosing to use mind-altering and illegal substances. Sadly, her mental health symptoms probably contributed to her using drugs in the first place. But unfortunately for Taylor, she still made a series of poor decisions for which she is responsible. Like anyone who commits murder, Taylor has to pay the price. It's nothing personal, just shop business.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.